Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 88. And if this is your first time listening, we are a show where we talk about nerd things and nerdy life through a married lens, because we are in fact married. Now, this show is coming a little late to you guys.
Yeah, we had a birthday party this weekend for our little girl.
It was a big one, though.
Yeah, it was for Ripley's first birthday.
Yeah, I mean that's a big deal.
It is.
I think the listeners will forgive us for that one. Yeah. Because normally we release on Mondays, but we're releasing this on Wednesday, and it was kind of twofold because we needed time to do the party because Ripley was turning one. She turned one.
That's right.
She's now one.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Which is absolutely insane. So for those of you who are longtime listeners, and we've been doing the show well before Ripley, and we were doing it during Ripley, like pre-Ripley,
right?
Like as in like when she was in the womb, and then you guys, like, we've talked a lot about our baby story, and so on top of that, I want to thank everybody who gave us well wishes via email and Twitter and Instagram and everything like that. Listeners who said congratulations on and happy birthday to Ripley for her 1 year. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Who gave us those messages. Yeah, it was we had a party. It was a nice party. It was small.
Yeah, you know, just family.
But well decorated.
Well, thank you.
but the thing is, and so like Altered Carbon came out.
Yeah.
On the Friday before the party. And so we had family stuff on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right. We partied all weekend long for this one-year-old's party.
And so we couldn't finish the show. And we were just like, okay, well, I mean, we could give a review on just the first couple of episodes. And a lot of people, like a lot of critics do that. Like a lot of them, like for TV shows, just so that they can get that review out as soon as possible, they do it for the first three episodes. And I think even before a show comes out, they usually send the first three episodes to the critics ahead of time.
Right, so they have a chance to actually watch it and give an opinion.
So we could do that, but the thing is, like, there's so many shows out there, like The Good Place, you know, where the first three episodes isn't really that good of a representation of what the show is or what the show could be, and... especially with something where you drop it all at once.
I was gonna say, with a Netflix show, I feel like because we have all of them, it just feels like you should watch all of them before, in some ways.
That's true. I guess that's not really a good comparison that I made, because with The Good Place, that's a weekly show, and that's really all that you have is just one episode at a time. So you have to judge it that
way. Whereas Netflix is a little different when it comes in this form.
Right? I see it. Like, I see a Netflix season as a 10-part movie, where I don't read into that too terribly much. don't read into that, because I've gotten some flack for criticizing David Lynch talking about how Twin Peaks is really just an 18-part movie. I'm like, screw you, no, it's not.
Well, when you have 18 parts, it's a little
18 parts, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like Martin Scorsese's Jazz. But yeah, this episode's going to be about Altered Carbon, and we watched all 10 episodes, and so we're going to give a review on that in our first, a reaction to it. Like always, we'll start spoiler-free, and then kind of get down to it.
You know?
Like, because I'm sure that not everybody binged it in the first weekend, but if you did, you can listen to this entirety, you can listen to all of this episode, and if not, you can just listen to the first part. But before we get into that, before we get into Altered Carbon, the Super Bowl happened, and I know
we
did not watch, and I know a lot of nerds don't care, and that's fine, you know, you don't have to care, but I used to work the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I worked in sports for a very long time, which I always thought was God's cruel joke, because I don't like sports at all.
It's true. You were forced to be a part of it.
Yeah, but it paid the bills, so.
That's right.
But yeah, and it was always such a chore to kind of like go to the Super Bowl, and
when everyone else is like, what?
I know, everybody else was like, oh my god, you got tickets. But it's every year I thank my lucky stars that I get to do something else.
That's true.
Instead of watching the Super Bowl or watching a game, like just watching Netflix, I'm just like, oh, do you know what's awesome? Not watching the Super Bowl.
Well, we've
right
been
now.
Doing this for a long time, ever since we started dating, mm-hmm. back in 2006.
2000,
yeah, ish. every Super Bowl, we would just watch movies together. Because I remember there was moments like when we were dating in college where we would take your laptop and we would watch, like, the entire, like, area would be completely clear because everyone was watching the Super Bowl. And we would, like, go into the dorm lobby and we'd watch a movie instead.
Do you remember the first movie we watched together?
Was it Eon Flux?
It was Eon Flux. Congratulations,
thank
I remember.
You.
Yeah, that was
the test.
That was our first Super Bowl, anti-Super Bowl
yeah,
watch party.
I'm pretty sure we, like, did Before Sunrise as well during a Super Bowl one time.
Somewhere around in there, yeah.
Yeah.
I always remember, I always wanted to make, like, years later when we actually got married, I wanted to make that a tradition that we would watch Eon Flux whenever the Super Bowl was going on.
I don't know if you can watch that every year.
No. I love the movie, but yeah, that's not something, it's not like a Christmas classic that you
right.
need to watch every year. Or like, you know, like Nightmare Before Christmas or Santa Claus. The Santa Claus, excuse me. But yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, so the Super Bowl happened, mm-hmm. and you know, like, some people are talking about the commercials, and mainly, and not just like the Tide commercials or anything like that, but the Super Bowl spots, the movie trailers,
right?
Things that were released of that nature, like the Han Solo teaser mm-hmm. was released, and then the full trailer was released the next day.
Right.
We got Mission Impossible Fallout, mm-hmm. Red Sparrow, The Rock's Skyscraper. And I'm kind of blanking on some other ones.
Yeah.
They had an Avengers 30 spot,
right.
which was totally pointless.
Right. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about some of these trailers now that we have a little bit more information. Because we kind of talked about that when we were talking about some of the upcoming films, like what we were excited about or what we were not excited about. So we thought we would kind of talk about the trailers that we've seen so far.
Yeah. And so, like, out of all the ones that kind of... that came out, is there one that hit you the most where you're just like, oh, I'm excited about that? Or is there one that kind of hit you the least? Actually, let's start with that one. Which one?
I was going to say, we couldn't help, but we did talk about ones that we were like, wow, that looks really sad.
I'm looking at a list right now. I think like the main ones were Red Sparrow, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, mm-hmm. Solo, A Star Wars Story, Skyscraper, Mission Impossible, and the Cloverfield Paradox.
And that was a surprise, right?
Cloverfield mm-hmm. Paradox was a surprise. A Quiet Place, which one you were pretty excited about.
Yeah.
And Avengers. Now, I think the one that, it was more than just indifferent, but it like, one that kind of hit me hard is like, oh, I'm even more uninterested now? And that was Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh my gosh. It looks like a cheap Star Wars knockoff. Like, you know what I'm saying? It looks like a cheap version of Star
like
Wars
a fan,
to me.
A fan-made
yeah,
film.
Yeah, it does. And I also did not feel any connection to any of it when I was watching. Even, like, Chewie putting his hand on Solo, I was just like, that's not Han Solo.
I know, it's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were going for that emotional connection. I had none of it.
I think that's pretty accurate. I think that's well put. There's a disconnect.
There is.
There's a raw disconnection. Mm-hmm. Between us and this Han Solo. Now, maybe after the film, you know, we'll feel differently. Like, mm-hmm. maybe we'll just like, oh, okay, so he is Han
sure.
Solo. It's kind of like Chris Pine in Star Trek, you know, J.J. Abrams Star Trek and everything like that. Maybe
sure.
we'll form a new connection where it's like, it's not Harrison Ford, it's not William Shatner, but, you know, we're along for the ride with this
sure.
character. Because some people are speculating that this is not going to be the last time we see these actors as these characters.
Really?
Like, some people are saying, like, because Rogue One was pretty final.
Yeah, it was.
and some people are saying, like, oh, no, like, they got, you know, like, they got some cool actors to...
Well, I think we'll see how the movie does, and then we'll see from there.
I think so, too. Like, because I can't imagine a world where a Star Wars film... isn't a good return. Like, don't take me wrong here. Like, I think there are good Star Wars nowadays. Mm-hmm. There are good Star Wars films and there are bad Star Wars films and there's mediocre Star Wars films. It's kind of like Marvel.
Right.
But even a mediocre or even bad Marvel film makes a good return.
That's true, I guess. Like, financially, you're
saying? Financially, okay. Is what I mean. Like, okay. not everything is a critic's darling, but it's hard to imagine.
No, I think it depends on how people react to him. Because, I mean, we already have very established people as those in those roles. Mm-hmm. So, to replace Harrison Ford, I don't know. I don't know about that one. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting because both you and I feel like... I asked a question on Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. But I set up a poll saying how did you feel about the Solo trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Did it move the needle at all? You know, are you less interested? Are you more interested? Are you excited? And the people who voted and commented, I feel like this trailer didn't change your interest level. Like, if you were excited, you're excited now.
Okay.
If you were uninterested, you're still uninterested. Hmm. If you're unsure, you're still unsure. I don't feel like this trailer moved the needle in any way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
Now, I could be wrong, and obviously I can't speak for everybody. I'm sure that there are people listening to this and go like, oh no, I'm totally excited now.
Just from the poll that you did, it seemed like it wasn't a big deal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all I can speak to. But with this one, it just, I don't know. I'm not asking for this trailer to change my life. You know, like I'm not asking
in our minds Star Wars trailers to change our lives. So I think that might be the problem. Even a Star Wars story needs to kind of move us.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were trying to by the moment with Chewie at the end, they were like, okay, here you go. You're going to get this pairing and it's going to be awesome. But I didn't feel that. Yeah, I didn't feel that.
I feel like the internet really reacted to Lando, like seeing Lando again.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that's the only part of it that I'm interested in.
Yeah, see, like because we got so little of the character. Like, think about it. Like Lando in Empire, he really was only towards the end, and then in Jedi, his character was kind of sparse. You know, like he wasn't a part of the main two storylines with like Luke or Leia or anything like that. And so, even though he was a big part of the franchise because he was beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't get to spend that much time with him. I feel like with this film, we'll get to spend more time with him.
Definitely.
But I think, you know, I think that's a solid point that you bring up, is that, like, we expect Star Wars trailers to change our lives. Not even the movies, the trailers to change our lives.
I'm supposed to get goosebumps and shed a tear.
Think about the Force Awakens trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of how you feel about Force Awakens, that first trailer hit you right in the feels. And then Rogue One came out, and that was the first one-off. That was the first Star Wars story. And that was a beautiful and phenomenal trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay movie, but phenomenal trailer.
Didn't this one feel like they were phoning it in, though?
It did.
Yeah.
It really did. And even with Last Jedi, like, we got to hear Luke's voice.
Right,
you know, we saw Rey discovering the Force even further. And it was a well-made, crafted trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, it just kind of feels like, oh, it's coming out in May, remember? And this is the first stuff that we're seeing about it in February, and it's coming out in May.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's pretty quick. All right, let's talk about another.
Yeah, let's move on. Sorry. Yeah.
Good. Let's talk about Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mission Impossible Fallout. I mean, this one is, they've got the formula down.
I was going to say, I think that this was the only one that I was like, oh, I'm excited to see another Mission Impossible because you know what? You know what you're going to get.
It's so true. It is the veritable fast food when you travel.
Yeah. I'm just like, cool. All right. I'm game.
Honestly, like, it's unabashed on who it is or what it is.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise knows, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get Tom Cruise running away, and you're going to get explosions. You're going to get cool gadgets.
Right.
You're going to get action. And, like, it's formulaic. And, like, you know what? I don't care.
Right. And I think I would go to theater to see it just because it's like a feel good.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, it really is. And so, like, I think the trailer was well made. I think the trailer music was cool. If you give me a good trailer song.
It's true. Trailer songs are huge.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
Sometime we need to do, like, a trailer, our favorite trailer episode.
I want to do.
It's hard. It takes a lot of work, though. We have to, like, think about it.
It takes a lot of work. And at the same time, homework. It's hard to do that on a podcast.
I know.
Because you and I have talked about doing that, and we've been wanting to do that for a while, but I'm just like, how do I make that auditory?
Right. It's true. And now go to this link.
And now go to this link. Totally check it out. But yeah, so, I mean, there's really nothing crazy special about Fallout.
I just am excited about it.
It's a new Mission Impossible film.
Yeah.
So there you go.
What was the Skyscraper, the next?
Skyscraper. This one, I was kind of surprised that this got a Super Bowl commercial.
Okay.
Like, because this... Because
it's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, The Rock is The Rock. I mean, he's a huge box office draw. I think he was, like, the highest paid actor last year.
Yeah, crazy.
Which is insane. You know, when you look at how he started, it's so great. It's when you hear about that with some people, you're like, oh, this person is the highest paid, whatchamacallit, in their field. You're just kind of like, what a jerk. You know, like, who cares? But when you see The Rock, you're just like, you know what, good on you. Skyscraper basically looks like when I saw the trailer, I was like, this feels like if Harrison Ford did Die Hard in his prime. Like, this is what this is, like, we would get Skyscraper.
I can see that. I can see there's some Die Hard there.
Yeah.
I was a little afraid there was going to be some high rise in there.
Ooh.
Because of the concept of, like, the skyscraper that has, like, all these different levels. And
like, people live here full time. Exactly, you know, like, you got, like, ecosystems and everything like that.
It doesn't look like it, though.
No, it doesn't. I don't
think it's going to be that serious.
I don't think it looks like high-rise at all. thank God. But no, the reason why I brought up Harrison Ford is because it's very family-centric. Like, you're like, give me back my family, you know?
It's Harrison Ford?
I don't know what that was. That was not my Harrison Ford impression. I was just making a voice. Don't call me out like that. So yeah, I don't know. This movie kind of looks like a throwaway. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not... Just... Whatever. It's just one of those... It's just another movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was kind of surprised that I got a Super Bowl spot.
And we saw a new Avengers Infinity War one. And, okay, can I have a question? Does everyone have an Iron Man suit now? Like, really? So it's just like a bunch of Iron Mans, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Come on.
I think that's a little oversimplification.
What?
I mean, like,
Spidey has the suit.
Spidey has a suit, which I think might be a little overproduced. You know, like, I think that has some merit.
Okay. And now, like, Cap has it too?
No, Cap doesn't have a suit. He just has that, like, that
arm thing?
That it's a shield. It's a shield replacement.
Oh, that's weird.
It is a little weird seeing a retractable shield and everything like that, but they had to replace something. They had to give him something. But I think that's going a bit far to say, like, everybody has an Iron Man suit.
I don't know. We'll see.
Black Panther, I mean, like, even though it's not Stark tech, I mean, I think his suit...
Yeah, that's why I allow it. I'm like, it's okay because it's different.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, when we go see Black Panther next week, super excited about that. Like, his suit is way more advanced than I was expecting it to be. So, yeah. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, the Super Bowl spot for Infinity War felt needless. Like, we didn't need it.
It didn't feel like we earned, like, gained very much from it. No. Other than maybe seeing Cap with his retractable shield situation. I don't know.
I'm not
super excited about that.
Then we have Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I'm still not excited about this movie.
Well, why are they... The entire time I was watching, I was like, why are they back there? Are they there? Just like,
I don't know, man.
What's going on?
I think that with this one, it's a situation. They even talked about how they genetically engineered a new dinosaur.
Yeah, it's just every single time it's a new dinosaur.
I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I did not dig on the first one, Jurassic World.
Right.
Which... It was the fourth one, I guess.
Right, I was going to say, you mean the fourth?
Who knows? But yeah, like, I didn't like the first Jurassic World. I thought it was completely overrated. Have no idea why it was the highest grossing movie of the year that it came out. But
It's dinosaurs,
exactly, is right. You know, like, I'm not excited for this one. I'm not trying to be, like, some sort of curmudgeon. I'm just exhausted.
Yeah, I agree.
Just tired. Then Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence, another movie that I was surprised got a Super Bowl spot. I don't care.
I'm kind of tired of Jennifer Lawrence. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, oh yeah. A lot of people are getting tired of Jennifer Lawrence.
Because I was really into her for a while. And like I thought she was hilarious and everything like that. And I like a lot of her work. But then now I'm just kind of tired of seeing her.
You are basically America right now. Like, that is America's opinion. You're like, oh, wait, yeah, she was really cute and funny at the beginning. And then she was quirky. And we're just like, oh, what a great personality. And
I
then
think maybe
we just
it's oversaturation. Because I feel like now she's just in everything or has been in everything. Not necessarily right now. But I think they maybe oversaturated the market with her for a while.
Now, with Cloverfield Paradox, this was a sequel that this was a secret movie.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew it was coming. And they advertised it during the Super Bowl and then released it right after the Super Bowl.
That's kind of fun.
That's fun, yeah.
Yeah. Netflix can do that because they have that power.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, even though that was a cool idea, apparently the movie itself wasn't.
Oh, no.
Now, we haven't seen it.
No.
But the thing is that, like, I haven't heard any glowing praise. Okay. Like, the most that I've seen, the most positive, is people saying, I enjoyed it moderately.
Oh, okay.
But everybody else is saying,
what was
like,
that, Cloverfield Lane or something?
12 Cloverfield Lane or something, like
we
that.
Watched,
yeah, that was
that
good.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, people like this one.
That was creepy.
People don't like this one.
No? Okay.
I might give it a shot sometime because it's... has kind of a sci-fi feel, and I like some of the people in it.
Okay.
But, like, people were saying, like, you're laughing when you're not really supposed to be laughing.
That's too bad.
Which is too bad. And then we have...
Aliens 4.
We have a Quiet Place, which is that Emily Blunt...
Yeah, I'm excited about
movie.
John Krasinski.
And John Krasinski directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
He's in it, too.
Yeah, he's in it, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're in it together.
It's so cute.
And, yeah.
It's going to scare me, though. I want to see it, though.
I don't think you're going to see it in the theater. I don't think you can handle scary movies in the theater.
Are you like going to be embarrassed to sit next to me if you go?
Probably, because you'll just start kicking really hard and like everybody will hear it.
That's mean.
Probably a little bit. But there you go. So like, okay, so everyone, please let us know what you thought of these trailers. Like, was there anything like anything that we missed? Or are you excited about any particular one? Go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, and then let us know. Like, are we not giving Mission Impossible enough credit? You know, are they trying new things? Are they inventing new things? Is it not just a formulaic thing? I think it is. But let us know if you think it isn't. And maybe we're not giving Skyscraper or Solo.
That's
we're not giving Solo enough
credit.
We did
go on a little bit long about it.
I started a rant and you preempted it before it got too terribly long.
Sorry.
But c'est la vie. No, you don't need to apologize because I needed to get cut off.
All right, let's talk about Altered Carbon.
Let's get into I feel like we've been putting this off because...
Well,
yeah.
I have a lot of mixed feelings, though. I really do.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Altered Carbon is, here's the synopsis. The series takes place over 350 years in the future, in the year 2384. In the future, people's consciousnesses are contained in stacks, quote-unquote stacks.
Which are like little discs.
Yeah, storage devices attached to the back of the person's neck. Physical bodies are turned into, quote-unquote, sleeves, more disposable vessels. Takashi Kovacs, a violent mercenary, wakes up 250 years after his sleeve is killed, and he is given the choice to either spend the rest of his life in prison for his crimes or help solve the murder of the wealthiest man in the world. Takashi was the sole surviving soldier of those defeated in an uprising against the New World Order 250 years prior. So there you go.
Okay, yeah.
This is a Netflix show, 10 episodes,
right.
Starring, what's his name, Joel Kinnaman? Is that his name? Yes, Joel Kinnaman as Takashi Kovacs.
You've seen more
Kovacs.
Of him now. Like, he was Conway in House of Cards.
He was also in Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. He was.
He was RoboCop in the RoboCop reboot,
that's
which
right.
Nobody talks about. No one talks about it. Joel Kinnaman doesn't even talk about it. Because he doesn't want to.
So, you see him pop up more now.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. His career is picking up. Building
right.
steam.
So
tall man.
Yeah.
So spoiler free.
Right.
Like, it is very cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Like, super cyberpunk, which is probably one of the main reasons why you and I stuck with it, because we weren't really impressed at first.
No, and actually, I kind of felt like it was ripping off some, like, Blade Runner feelings there. Like, I don't know, there was some moments where I was like, okay, we're in this this world that feels a lot like Blade Runner, especially in the first episode. I was like, really? I almost got like kind of frustrated during that episode.
Well, okay, so here's the thing though, is that the cyberpunk genre,
I guess, yeah, they don't own that
genre. Like, yeah, that's the thing, is that like the cyberpunk genre takes a lot from anime.
That's true.
It takes a lot from Japanese, you know, cartoons, manga, and animation, and everything like that. And Blade Runner did that. Like, Blade Runner took a lot from that genre and from Japanese anime. And so, you know, you kind of have to ask yourself, well, who are they stealing from?
Right.
Like, which version are they stealing from? Because everybody's borrowing from somebody. But it was very, but the thing is, though, is that, it, like, the neon, the noodles in the street,
That's the thing.
Rain,
the coats, clear umbrellas.
The clear umbrellas, yeah. There was a lot.
Yeah, his coat even, like, flipped up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff I was like,
Especially with Blade Runner 2049 coming out so recently.
Right.
I think it probably wouldn't hit home as much as it would have if that sequel didn't come out.
You're right. And kind of looking at more as a genre, I guess that wasn't necessarily fair. But, yeah. So we stuck with this because there were so many moments where I was like, ooh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't think I liked it.
The concept was way cooler than the execution.
Yes. And I think that the reason why we stuck with it so much was because the sci-fi and like some of the rationale they had for certain things, like more concepts than anything, were interesting. Like, you know, the idea of these stacks and you know, people believing in being re-sleeved or not because of religious reasons. Like, no, once you're dead, you don't get a new body, or yes, you can live forever. And you know, even the societal issues where like, okay, I can afford as many sleeves as I want, or I can actually clone myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was really interesting.
And the poor can't.
Yes, the and poor so can't.
The wealthy can literally live forever.
Right. And you even have like kind of it reminded me a little bit of Elysium, where the rich kind of live in the clouds and the poor live on the ground, more in the polluted area.
This is a theme that's touched on a lot in sci-fi.
It is. So I think that that's kind of what stuck. We decided to stick with it.
And also because we don't get a lot of sci-fi TV shows.
No, you don't.
We just don't get them. And so regardless of whether it's mediocre or not, you kind of want to stick with it.
Yeah.
Just because, like, even if it scraps, at least it's something.
Right. It's true. But I think that they did kind of perk my interest every few episodes with what they were doing with the concept. Like, there were certain things where I was like, ooh, I didn't think about that. Or, cool concept. So, I don't want to spoil anything, but I don't know. Do you think it's worth a watch?
I don't know.
Really?
Honestly, like, after I finished it, I was just like, I think the first thing that came to my mind was that was a chore.
Mm.
We had to get through it. That's the thing. We didn't enjoy watching it. We got through it. Like,
that's never a good thing.
When we finished it, when it was like credits rolled, episode 10, I was like, okay, well, that's done. That's not a good feeling. It's not like, oh man, like it wasn't, I wasn't feeling like, oh man, that was so well written, or, oh geez, that was a cool concept, or, you know, I got to talk about this. It was, okay, that's done. We can now podcast about it. And that's a horrible place to be.
It's terrible.
You know, if we're watching a show like Westworld or House of Cards or, I don't know, like even Good Place, which we started, that's the second time I've mentioned it because we started watching that.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched season one and season two. It's just like you want to talk about it. Like, you and I are walking around and saying like, oh my God, you remember that? You remember this? You remember that?
Right.
And like, oh, that was fun, or this was interesting and everything like that. But with this one, it was, at the very end, it was just like, so why did they do that? Why did they do this? Why were we here? It was so convoluted. I think the best word to describe Altered Carbon is messy.
Yeah. There was a lot of moments in it where you had to pause, literally.
Yeah.
Pause the show.
Hit the pause button.
And say, look at the person next to you and say, is this what they're saying?
Is this what they mean?
Is this what they mean? Because that's not clear. I mean, I think we did that like at least three times throughout it, right?
Oh, at least three times.
At least, where we're like, is this what they're saying? Because it was like they were over-explaining their world, mm-hmm. okay? But not well. They weren't doing a very good job of explaining what was actually going on, but they had to. Otherwise, you'd have no clue.
And that's the thing. I feel like so many sci-fi shows are victims of this, mm-hmm. where they use jargon. And then mm-hmm. they have to explain that jargon.
Right.
And sometimes they do it. Sometimes it's easy to pick up. Sometimes it's not. This one was not easy to pick up.
Well, I think maybe partly is because they didn't want to oversimplify it for the audience. Where like, oh, and this is what this means.
You know, and I appreciate that.
Right. I do too. But at the same time, you're leaving your audience saying, I don't understand what's going on here.
And this was not a situation, like there's so many times with sci-fi concepts where, and I keep thinking about like Inception.
Okay.
Where like there's so many times where people will find a concept, like look at a movie like Inception and think like, oh, like this isn't good filmmaking, like this isn't a, just because it's confusing doesn't mean it's a good concept. And I always make fun of those people because I'm like, Inception is not hard to understand. Right. They explain it to you pretty thoroughly.
Oh, yeah.
And you just have to pay attention. Now, with Altered Carbon, they you are paying attention. We were paying attention hard, yeah. and they were explaining it to us, and we were still lost. That's bad storytelling.
Yes. I mean, eventually you kind of understand what's going on just by context, but the fact that you have to wait a while to confirm what you think is true is not good storytelling.
There was a lot of lights, a lot of colors and shapes. It's very entertaining. But no, you're right. You're right. Like, they'll right? start, they'll, I think that's a great summation. They'll start a scene, and then you're like, oh, crap, why are we here? Wait, who are they talking to? Oh, why are they talking to that person? Wait a few scenes. Oh, that's what that scene was about. Okay. The one 2 minutes ago? Yeah, that one. That's not a good place to be.
No.
Because then you're not present. Because you're not present in the story, you're not present with the characters and their motivations, because you're constantly trying to
catch
to
up,
decode everything and
right,
catch up.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then I started, like about like episode six, I started giving up.
Did you?
Like you asked me, you're like, oh, why are they here? And I'm like, who the hell knows?
That's probably the moment where you were like, let's just get through this.
Oh, yeah.
That like, was about the part.
I started thinking, I was just like, let's just get through
it. I think it got better, though. Don't you think it got better a little bit?
It did get better. Like the second
around
half.
Around episode six or
around
so?
Episode five.
Five or six.
It started getting better, but then at the very end, it screeched to a halt.
It did. It did. It did. We should get into spoilers because there's, you know. But okay, so I hate this though, because when you talk about, okay, we're talking about Altered Carbon. So if you haven't watched it. Should you watch it? Like we're dissing it already.
Well, okay, so like on Rotten Tomatoes,
uh-huh.
It has a rate, like the critics gave it a rating of 62%. And
that seems a little high.
Yeah.
Maybe 50?
I'd give it 50. 50%? I would honestly say like a 50%, like I enjoyed half of it.
Yeah.
And the other half was just a jumbled mess of yeah. jargon and language and oversexed and over violent.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is that like I am, even though we joke that I have delicate sensibilities, I am by no means a prude.
No, we watch a lot of things.
We watch
clearly.
A lot of, yeah, we watch a lot of sexual things and violent things. But like, as long as it's applicable to the story mm-hmm. and the style, that's fine. And Altered Carbon, like that was its style. Like it mm-hmm. was like it didn't really do anything out of the norm of what it told you it was doing. Like you knew it was when the stuff was
there was
coming.
No surprises.
There was no surprises. You knew when things were about to get violent. You knew when things were about to get sexual.
Right.
And so there were certain times we would fast forward it real quick, but it was just so unnecessary. It got to the point where I'm just like, why am I seeing this dude's wang? Like what's going on? Like he is naked head to toe and just walking in the room that way. Why is that happening? And you're just like, it's a new actress. Oh, we saw her boobs. Oh, it's another new actress. Oh, we saw her boobs. You
know, well, usually we saw like all of them, actually.
Not just the boobs.
Yeah, and fighting. Like,
I think there was probably one actress in the entire thing that didn't show any nudity, and it was Takashi's mentor.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And there was even a sex scene with her.
You're right, and we didn't see any.
And we didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
well, I don't want to give away because we get into spoiler territory.
Oh, pff, I don't know. But it's like,
well, I guess we're into it now.
I could even tell you the exact plot, and it would be like, I don't know what that means. but no, like, okay, so let's go ahead and get into basically. Okay, in summation, it wasn't that great. It wasn't even that good. It was, if you're looking for a sci-fi show,
have some spare time,
and you have some spare time, give it a shot. You might like it more than we did because the audience score
is high.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
Yeah, I started looking at some of these. I started.
Do you really even understand what's going on?
I looked at some of the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, and some of them like one said like I'm scrolling up to it right here. Oh, it just loaded weird. Okay, crap, it went away.
technical but,
like,
difficulty.
I try to read some of the top critic reviews to see, like, oh, you know, like, are they in line with what I was thinking after the show?
Sure.
And one said, like, unfortunately, all too often this series feels akin to the villains in the world it's creating, awash with cash, but in need of a soul. That's pretty spot on.
That is. I like that.
It's very flashy.
It is.
It has a lot of production value.
Yeah.
But it's soulless.
Like, I don't think you really care about the characters.
Oh, this one I like. Big issues of body, mind, identity, and technology shuffle around the altered carbon universe, but the show often drags its feet in order to fill its individual episodes' running times.
Yeah, it does. That's very true.
Like, you're watching an episode and you're like, this did not need to be an hour.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Or certain storylines, they definitely draw out. For sure. Okay, well.
Okay, so we're going to go
into some spoiler territory. So, I don't know, where do you want to start with this? Because it's so,
it's okay,
all over the place. I think that's the reason why I'm drawing a blank right now, is just because there's so much to it.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about, like, the, not the science, but I mean, like, the technology? And
yeah, I think,
like, talk about, because that's, like, positive. Let's start positive.
That's its biggest draw.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk about the concept is its biggest draw.
Absolutely.
The concept and the visuals, I'd say. The concept of, like, people finding immortality through alien technology,
right?
You know, like, through, like, discs in the base of your neck that, you know, record your consciousness,
mm-hmm,
and where you can be spun up,
right?
You know,
right.
And
you can talk to the dead and
resleeved, mm-hmm, and everything like that. Where you get a new body, and if you're rich enough, you can clone your own body, and if you you know, like, you could. You know, like, I could get any kind of sleeve that I wanted if I could afford it.
Right.
You know, like, I could be an Asian woman if I
right.
wanted to be.
And this idea
or
of
a,
like,
black man. If
a
I
lot of
be.
People doing heinous things to be resleeved. You know, like fighting your husband, and one of you is going to get a better sleeve.
Oh yeah,
you
that,
know,
that was,
like,
a weird scene where, like, they had people who were, yeah, like they were, it was like an MMA fight, but to the
right,
death.
Right. And this idea of, like, you know, you go home to your kids and they don't recognize you, or your kid is in a body of, like, a 40-year-old woman.
That was it. Okay, like, that was in the first episode, and that was a heartbreaking but yet interesting storyline that we did not follow.
I know, right?
Where it was, so, like, murder victims,
mm-hmm,
will get a free sleeve from the state.
Right.
But the thing is, there's the stipulation is whatever they have on stock is what they're going to give you.
Right.
And so this 7-year-old girl got, like, a 60-year-old woman's sleeve.
Right.
And so, and, like, you saw the father be like, what the hell is going on? You know, she was a murder victim. We were guaranteed a sleeve. And the guy's like, yeah, if you
this
don't
is
like
what,
this,
yeah, this is
if you don't
have.
Like it, then buy your own.
Right. This is what you're issued.
And
that was very interesting.
It's very, like, I was disturbed by it. Like, I
oh,
was,
yeah.
It hit me hard. And then we never mentioned it again.
What also hit us hard was, what's his face, his name? What
I have
Takashi.
Just like, what's his face?
Kovacs.
Takashi Kovacs.
Well, what's the actor's name?
Joel Kinnaman.
Oh, okay. His abs, his whole body. We, after the first, we didn't talk about it at the moment, but the first episode, you see him, like, naked. And, like, he's being resleeved.
Yeah.
And,
like, super naked.
Right. Super naked. And you see him, and both of us afterwards, like, his abs are off-putting. They're so intense that they're off-putting. Like, is it possible to be so attractive that you're, like, off-putting?
No. See, that's the thing. You can't call it so attractive that it's off-putting because it's not necessarily, like, muscular doesn't mean attractive.
That's true.
That's the thing. He is so muscular, it's unsettling. It is. I was unsettled. Okay, like, there are
so... It was hilarious.
I thought it was so funny that both you and I felt that way because while we were watching it, we didn't say a thing. But then we turn off with the episode and we're like, what the hell was that all about? Because when he showed up on screen... Like, okay, there's several times where I...
You see his butt all the time.
It's true.
All like, the time.
It got a supporting role.
He should have had a, like, credit.
Yeah. Co-starring Joel Kinnaman's ass. Shaved and smooth. So
you're terrible.
But the thing is, like, I'll watch a show and you'll see somebody who's like fit in good shape.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at that and I'm just like, and then I look at myself and I'm just like, oh, I like tacos. and then I get a little discouraged and I'm like, I gotta do some push-ups. When I see someone this insanely ripped,
there's no prayer to ever look like that.
I will never look like that in a million.
Right?
There's not enough skinless chicken breasts in the world to make me look that way. And so when I see that, I'm just like, that's ridiculous. That's insane. Like, no one needs to look
real.
Like that. Because he was also, I think that's the thing, is that, like, it wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron.
No.
Just gigantic, or like Lou Ferrigno. He was lean and tight and just blocky. It was strange.
Yeah, or probably most of the episodes, we're just going to talk about his abs.
And his ass. You know?
That's right.
But yeah, no, it was. So that's one thing.
That's one thing.
People, if you're into that,
it's positive.
Watch the show.
There you go. In an off-putting way.
It was crazy. I don't even know what we were talking about.
We're talking about the technology, and we got completely sidetracked.
It's a huge sidetrack.
So, okay, yeah, I really thought that was interesting, though. This idea
crazy
of...
interesting.
You know, the social aspects of it where, you know, you're walking around and, you know, you could easily put, you know, your grandmother into this guy who's like tatted up, you know, and also this like recognition of the person versus the sleeve was interesting to me.
Yes.
They like, you know, you knew who they were, but you didn't. You know, just walking around, it wasn't so much about the body. It was about the person.
Which is a very interesting concept.
It was.
Later on in the episodes, we have that guy who is helping him out, and I can never remember his name. Like, that's how bad it got, is that I could never actually remember this guy's name.
The guy with the family?
Vernon Elliott.
Oh, yeah, and Lizzie, right?
Yeah, Vernon, okay. Lizzie, and Ava.
Okay, yeah.
And so... like Ava got re-sleeved as a middle-aged white man,
right?
And you know, like Vernon's just like, what is going on here? And like, of course, she's freaking out too. But they have to put that aside because it's his wife, it's the
right.
love of his life, the mother of his child,
right?
And so it's still, she's still in there. It's
right.
It's her personality. It's her mind. Her consciousness. And so he kind of has to put that aside. And it was interesting because I thought they played it off really well.
They did.
Where he was disturbed at first and it was off-putting. But then once he realized that it really is her, you know, like, it's not like we saw them, you know, like, get busy or make out or anything like that. But you saw him be tender.
Right. Like, with the reunited with their daughter and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You felt that.
Yeah,
you were
he's holding her, absolutely.
You
know, he's kissing her hand.
Right. Exactly. No, you felt like, yes, that's her. And it was an interesting concept to see how that didn't really matter because mm-hmm. that was his wife. And so, you know, you think about how superficial some people are. And, you know, it was interesting because there was a superficial shown where, you know, like there's the, what do they call it? Like basically like the mill where they had all the bodies.
Psychosec.
That. So you have all these like advertisements where it's like, put your wife in me, like this beautiful, I know it's disgusting, but like this beautiful woman.
Beautiful, naked woman.
Naked woman, of course. And, you know, like to have the sleeve you deserve or the, you know, how you feel, you know. There's that aspect, but there's also the aspect of it doesn't really matter what sleeve you're in because you are you.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
It was very interesting concept. And also, like, the language that they used was perfect because it was obviously a double entendre of, you know, sexuality with it, like, put your wife in me,
mm-hmm.
and showing the naked woman, and the naked woman talking about, like, it's not like, oh, I'm the body you deserve. It's, no, I'm the body you deserve because you should put your wife in this body. They weren't marketing right. towards the wife. They were marketing towards the husband.
It was like, buy this for your wife, but you'll be the one who benefits.
Like, you'll get a hotter wife if you spend this money.
Exactly. And even the idea of, like, you know, your kids all have, who knows what ages, you know, like the rich family. There's so many names in this thing.
Bancroft.
The Bancroft family. They have like 20 some children. 21
kids.
Because they've been alive for 100 years. Over 100 years, right?
Well, he was over 300 years old.
Right.
But they've been married for over 100 years.
Right. So they have like 21 kids and they're all in these bodies. They're probably like 20s somethings, 30s. And just the idea of, like, you have no idea really their ages because they all look the same age.
It kind of made me think of the movie In Time. Did you ever see that movie with Justin Timberlake? I can't believe I just said that.
The fact that you just said that.
I know.
No, I did not.
I realize how ridiculous that sounded, okay? All right? I understand that. But in the movie, it was very much the same kind of social stratification of the wealthy live forever,
mm-hmm.
and they're forever youthful. The wealthy looks like they're 25, mm-hmm. even though they're probably like 150 or 80 or 60. And then you have people who... even though they look 25, they're poor, and so they constantly have to work. It's just like they have access to the same technology, mm-hmm. but their lives are very different. This show made me think of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, it didn't have Justin Timberlake in it, so one strike. But yeah, I think the social aspect of it, the society aspect of it, the technology,
mm-hmm.
the morality.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was all very fascinating.
Because Ortega's family, you know, they believed...
They were Catholic.
They believed, you know, you had one body and you take care of that body and then you're gone. And
you could code your disc so that you could not be respun up or resleeved or anything
right,
like that.
Right, right. And that, you know, that was really interesting to see how certain people were hanging on to that. You know, and you had protesters outside of the resleeving area, you know, saying like, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And you would see that for sure if that was actually happening.
It felt real.
It did. It did. It felt like, you know, this was a societal issue, but we had the technology. So, of course, people are going to use it. So... That was interesting, but there were certain things about the discs that, like, were confusing and they kind of added to as they went on.
They would establish rules and then yes. break the rules where they said, like, oh, well, if you resleeve too many times, you'll go crazy. But then they show people who their profession is to die in battle and die in combat and get resleeved. And if they're doing that constantly...
Right. Or even insane? The whores that, like, they were supposed to die every single time, like, you know, like 6x, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, then they're supposed to be resleeved all the time. I don't know.
And it's true. And like, people would call like the prostitutes that all the time. They're like, the whores. Like, they would just like scream it just like that. And it's like, do you care about them? But it's a, yeah, no, it's.
But if you were cloned, then it was okay. Right?
I think that was
but
one...
But there's a fact that I'm asking you, that's a problem, right?
That was one interesting thing, that, like, if you had the money
right.
to clone your body, because that's the thing, your brain was meant for that body,
mm-hmm.
and if you cloned that body, then your brain would accept
be fine.
It would be fine. So you could right. resleeve yourself as many times as you wanted
to. Because there was, like, a fight scene with the sister and Ortega, and, like, the sister just kept, like, breaking out of these like cocoons in her body,
mm-hmm.
and you know, then she's like, you know how much money you cost me, because you know she kept like chopping each other up, but she kept going into different sleeves as well. Like, she had several sleeves, like a little kid sleeve.
Yeah, she would go in and out of the sleeves.
Yeah, so there was a lot of things where you're like, how does that work with this person?
And then there were sleeves when they were talking, like, and then there were scenes where they would download to his sleeve. Like, not even, like...
Virtually?
Like, not virtually, but, like, through the internet. Like they didn't have to...
Right.
Like, they kind of sold it as you ripped out somebody's stack and then physically put it in to another body, and then that's how you would re-sleeve. But then we see scenes where they, like, hook up to an Ethernet port and then download to another sleeve that was, like, hundreds of miles away.
Right, and then you have, like, at one point, Takashi could, he had a cloned body, he used that, like, machine, and then he could be in two places at once, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one, actually, they explained that one a lot.
Right, they did, because that was, like, a major
plot point. And, like, they kind of set that up with another character who did that, and they showed
but
it as a
But there was, like, a little too much. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they shouldn't have gone that far with it. Like, I felt like they had too many rules for the sleeves and too many rules for the discs. I guess the discs and sleeves is what I'm trying to say. Because at that point, I was just like, we're doing what now?
Yeah, there were so many rules that some were contradictory and some were too open to the point where you could just do whatever you wanted to do.
Right.
Like, it was... Which is a big victim of sci-fi.
Right.
Is where if it's too advanced, then there's no drama because you can do whatever the hell you want.
Expanding your world too much.
Right.
They also had the VR aspect of it, which I also thought was a little, like, unnecessary.
I liked it. I like
the
VR stuff.
Really?
I like the VR stuff a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love
like the torture of the VR and stuff.
I didn't like
no,
that.
No, I know you didn't. Like, but I thought there's certain, like... Ortega's torture was interesting to me because, like, she kept being tortured with, like, the death of her family.
Well, I liked the idea that you could hook up somebody's stack without a body and talk to them through VR.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I liked that aspect.
That was cool.
Where, like, if somebody did die and you needed to talk to them without re-sleeving them, you could spin them up and then talk to them in virtual reality.
I liked Poe, the Raven Hotel.
Yes, he was great.
I really liked him.
And he was the only one who died.
I know. I was like, oh, I like Poe.
He was like my favorite character.
Me too.
And I feel like they knew that. I feel like the show knew that he was going to be a fan favorite, and that's why they killed him.
Probably.
Slowly, too.
Yeah. But he was, like, good. You know, he only wanted the best for Lizzie. And
there was also a lot. Speaking of which, there was a lot of characters in this.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a lot
That's why I can't remember all their names. Oh, my gosh. There was a lot. Yeah. A lot. I feel like there was a lot of plot points too where they decided to go way too much. Like, we saw too much of certain people and they didn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
And I also didn't see enough of the areas that I wanted to. Like, I wanted to see more of the uprising and her character, you know, his love, you know, I don't remember what her name was because, again, too many characters. But she, you know, had this whole grouping and they were, you know, the uprising. And I wanted to see more of their, like, how they trained. I wanted to see more of their relationship.
There was one episode that was pretty much all flashback of the uprising of Takashi and his sister as young children, how they grew up, how they went to the uprising, how they, you know, fell into it, how they got trained.
Mm-hmm.
And because they teased all of that in previous episodes, just with flashback here, flashback there. And then we got one episode dedicated to it. And that was probably my favorite episode.
Yeah, it was great.
As I was watching it, I was just kind of like, this is the show I
wanted to see, right? Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like if it was linear, it might be a little bit better. Like, maybe that's not fair to say, but it's just like some of my favorite things was Birth Takashi and the uprising and how he learned to be an envoy and everything like that. Maybe if we split our time a little bit more, let me rephrase it that way. Not linearly. Linearly? Maybe not. I'm not asking for a linear storytelling because I like it when the shows are all jumbled up and everything like that. But if we split our time 50-50.
Right.
Like we do with a Lost episode.
So you see, like, flashbacks and the present day more.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I think I would care more about Takashi's character because I was really interested to see him, you know, in his original skin sleeve. And I didn't feel like I got enough of that.
I also didn't
feel much connection to his relationship with his sister or whatever relationship she thought they had.
Because they were really close.
They were very close. Very close. And oh my gosh, how repetitive did it get when she just kept saying, like, I'll do anything to be with you. And just like, oh my gosh.
Like for like an episode, like the last episode and a half, I felt like we were in one scene.
Yes.
With just her circling around him in her office or her living space or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Saying like the same thing over and over again. I'd do anything for you. Please join me.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right. Yeah. It.
Like, I was praying to see Kinnaman's ass again because I was just so bored.
And I also didn't really care that much about Ortega. I know I should have, but I really didn't care that much about her. I kind of like found her a little annoying. And there was, like, certain parts where I was just like, I didn't really care. Like, there were several times when she almost died and I was just like, okay.
Just get rid of her.
Yeah, it's just like,
just get rid of her.
Well, and also it was a kind of confusing feeling because it was like she wanted to follow him because he had her boyfriend's sleeve.
And that was another thing that was really confusing.
Like, why did she care so much about the sleeve? Like, I mean, I guess it's a good sleeve if his abs are that off-putting. But, like, why would you care? Right?
Is I don't know.
In this world?
It was super confusing because... And you're like, did she really fall in love with Takashi or did she just feel familiar with that sleeve? And
which was strange.
Was she was clearly cheating
right.
on her boyfriend, even though it was the same body.
Right.
Like, she's not having sex with her boyfriend. She's having sex with Takashi.
Right. And that's very clear in this universe.
So what the hell, Ortega? Like, when your boyfriend wakes up, he's going to have some questions. I have a feeling that she's not going to talk about it.
Probably not. She's probably going to just say you were
Skip
asleep.
Over that,
you were asleep. So whatever happens when you're asleep.
I totally didn't have sex with a Japanese man in your body.
Right. Which is weird. I don't know. It was just weird that she cared so much. And they didn't really explain too much why she cared so much. Other than she paid for it.
They did not explain that relationship.
I don't know.
They didn't give an... I think... You talked about it before about like how you didn't care about any of the characters. That's the problem. Is that this... Mm-hmm. This show is such a huge neon mess that you're so focused on what is going on that you're not focused on why things are going on or who
they're happening to.
Or who they're happening to.
Right.
And I think that's probably a perfect summation of the show right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool things with it, for sure. Technology-wise, like the sci-fi aspect, that's what kept us through it, right? That's why we watched all 10 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. If you're starving for cyberpunk, watch the show.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for something that is just phenomenal and just like you got to watch the next episode.
No. But we could be very rare here because 92%, right? You said?
Rotten Tomato score 92%
from the audience. So tell us, are we completely off our rockers here? If you've watched the show, if you've actually made it through the podcast and you're like, well, I didn't watch that episode. They're telling me not to watch it on this series.
We didn't actually spoil anything.
I don't think we did.
We didn't.
Not really.
Except that,
I mean,
like, Ortega slept with Takashi.
Well, and like Poe dies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So I guess we did have some spoilers.
There's certain things that we spoiled, but I feel like... If you want to give it a shot, give it a shot. But hey, tell us, did you think it was really great? Like, what a great, you know, part of the genre. Like, hey, it was cool. The positive outweigh the negatives.
Let us know by going to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop down menu and fill out the form. It'll send us an email. And and also, like, while you're doing that, go ahead and go to iTunes.
Yeah.
Give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. And also, like, Facebook is a great place to start a conversation.
Absolutely.
Find this post and go to facebook.com/thenerdparty or find us on Twitter @joinnerdparty. You can find me personally on Twitter @theinsanerobin. And so this was an interesting show, but I wish it was a better show. But regardless of that, I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
Thank you.